Journey of a believer. A believer's road is narrow, yet filled with sacred grace. Each trial becomes a lantern. Journey of a believer.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome to another beautiful episode on the silsila Journey of a Believer. Wherever you may be in the world, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. A reminder for myself and for you as well, that when you are making dua, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that for the sake of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that he grants relief to the ummah, shifa to those who are sick and suffering, forgiveness to those who have passed on, and protection against the oppressors. We all have aspirations, ambitions, certain goals we may have in our lives, that by a certain time, a certain year, a certain age, I wish to fulfill this goal, this short-term, medium-term, long-term goal. So aspirations and ambitions can be good, it can also be bad. Now we are going to focus on the latter, because yes, whilst we should aspire to always be better, to always better ourselves, always develop ourselves, always strive to become a better and practicing Muslim, many of us are caught up running after the world, the ambitiousness and aspirations of this earthly and temporary worldly life, that it ends up diverting our attention and distracting us from fulfilling our purpose, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're going to highlight this aspect in order for us to not fall in these traps and these tricks of the nafs, the desires, and of the devil shaitan as well. And if we are caught up, then this is a reminder for us to come out of these holes and aspire to prepare for goodness in the grave and for salvation in the afterlife. That is where our focus must be whilst living on the earth, to prepare adequately. Beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So how about we make some good intentions and, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I'm here to seek knowledge of deen. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, insha'Allahu ta'ala. Let's do ourselves a favor and every single day recite some portion of the glorious Quran. Recite salawat, durood-e paak, istighfar, make sincere tawbah, repent on a daily basis from our shortcomings, from our evil deeds that we commit with our eyes, with our ears, with our tongues, our limbs. Engage in abundant dhikrullah throughout the day. Do your best to abstain from sins, to be punctual with the daily salahs, perform them correctly, fulfill rights of others. Do your best to learn and practice the sunnah, to learn something of deen, or at least a dua for the day. Above all, obey Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla, has said, whoever recites salat 100 times upon me, Allah Azza wa Jalla writes between both of his eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and the hellfire, and will keep him with the martyrs on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Whilst healthy aspirations are good, it goes without saying that unhealthy aspirations are not good for the individual. It is mentioned in a famous book called Uyunul Hikayat that there was a king of Basra. He abandoned his kingdom and all the affairs of his kingdom, and he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He became a sort of recluse and he became pious. But then again, shaitan came. The nafs, the desires started bubbling. And once again, he got attracted to the kingdom and the pleasures that he had, the royal pleasures and governance, and decided to live the rest of his life in luxury and pleasure. He got a splendid palace constructed with high quality materials, carpets. He decorated it with different types of high-end furnitures and fittings. He specified one huge room for his guests, and he had lots of bedrooms, all sorts of entertainments, all sorts and kinds of delicious foods were readily available. The king called his people, his ministers, and they praised the king. And he was so impressed, he was starting to get full of himself, that look what I have done. Look how beautiful this palace is. Look at the conveniences, look at the facilities that I have created. And this continued for a long time. The king was distracted with the colorfulness of this world. His grand palace had all types of musical instruments and entertainments. He would always be engrossed from the moment he awoke in worldly pleasures. These activities made him suffer from a spiritual ailment of high hopes, lofty aspirations, of also building castles in the air. He had a castle, he had a palace, but he was never satisfied. He was always, you know, what else can I do to create more facilities, more services, more conveniences, more luxury? So one day, he calls his ministers, his advisors, his close relatives and nobles, and says, you have been observing my great joy in this grand palace. Look how content I am, how peaceful I am. I want palaces like this to be constructed for all my sons. Stay here for some time. Enjoy, indulge in whatever pleasure you desire. And then give me some pieces of advice for constructing these other palaces so that I will be able to get the best palaces constructed for my sons. The people stayed there. One day, all the people, including the king himself, they were preoccupied in entertainments, in having fun. And suddenly, they hear a voice from the unseen. They can hear the voice, but they don't know where it's coming from. What was the voice saying? Oh, the one forgetting death, constructing buildings, give up your lofty aspirations and high hopes. Because death has been recorded for people, whether they laugh or they make others laugh. And it is ready for those who have very high hopes. Do not construct houses in which you do not have to live in, and do ibadat, do spiritual exercises and worships of Allah Azza wa Jal so that your sins can be forgiven. This unseen voice pierced the heart of the king. He became afraid. He became terrified along with the people who were with him. The king turned to his friends, the other nobles and his ministers, his advisors, and said, have you all also heard that unseen voice, what I have heard just now? They all replied in one voice, yes, we have. The king then said, Are you feeling what I'm feeling? They asked him, what are you feeling? The king replied, I'm feeling a burden in my heart. I think it's the message of death. So the people said, don't worry, O king. It's nothing. Just ignore it. May you live a long life. So they tried to calm him down. Don't be worried. Everything's going to be fine. However, that unseen voice, it terminated the high hopes from the heart of the king. He sat one place quietly, deep in contemplation, pondering that what if today is my final day? He started to despise all the plans of the luxury and pleasure that was created, that he had initiated. He was now overwhelmed with thoughts of the afterlife, of the grave, and all those desires of creating more conveniences and more palaces for his sons. All of it just disappeared from his heart. With the intention of leaving sins, he humbly said, O my Creator, O Allah Sawajal, I make you a witness. And all those who are present here, I make them witnesses as well. That I turn towards you and I am ashamed. I repent sincerely from all my sins, from all injustices that I have done. O my Creator, Sawajal, if you want me to live for some more time in this world, help me to follow the path of eternal obedience. And if you wish to call me away and give me death, then have mercy on me and forgive my sins out of your mercy. The king remained busy in this supplication, in this dua, pleading in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that burden inside him continued to increase because he didn't know what's going to happen to me now. And then he started to utter these words, by Allah Azza wa Jal, al-maut, death. By Allah Azza wa Jal, death. While saying this, he passed away. The fuqaha, the Islamic jurists of that time, they would say, after repenting, the king passed away. Dear viewers and listeners, have you noticed that how lofty aspirations, unhealthy aspirations, and high hopes, it made the king indulge in luxuries and pleasures, in sinful activities, in musical instruments, in singing and dancing, just to indulge in temporary pleasure. He fell prey to these desires. He became distracted from the reality, which is that very soon, sooner than I realize, I'm going to be 6 feet under, all alone, in the darkness of the grave, in the loneliness of the grave, with my good deeds and bad deeds. And then what's going to happen? Who am I going to turn to? So the palaces that we construct in our lives, in our minds, is something which is going to distract us. Take the entertainment industry, for example. The music industry, the movie industry, the sports industry. These are tricks of shaitan to eat our time up. I can spend 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours watching a sports game or watching a movie, but I can't spend a few minutes to read the glorious Quran, to recite dhikrullah, to make istighfar and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, to learn something of deen. That's so unfair. And guess who is going to be the most regretful? You and I. We will be in regret. We will have remorse. So let us think carefully. And perhaps to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, we may also receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like that fortunate king, we may be given the grand ni'mah and bounty of making sincere tawbah and repentance before our eyes close forever from this world. There's no returning to this world. It's the here and now. We have the time. Seize the time. Do good. Let us, you know, stop our evil ways. Don't judge other people. Don't look at other people to judge them. Judge yourself. That's the person. And continuously strive to overpower the nafs, the desires, the ego. And be wary of the tricks, the traps of shaitan. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, who is the final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has said that the first mischief of this ummah is stinginess and having a high hope. Some of us, we build those castles in the air, always plotting and planning and thinking, and how can I make more money? From where? From who? How? Which avenue can I take? And the person becomes engrossed in this. Regarding this blessed hadith, Hakimul Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, says that the first sin of a Muslim, which is the root of other sins, are the following of two things. Stinginess is the root of bloodshed and mischief. Number two, high hopes are the root of heedlessness and sins. A person thinks about it even in his old age. I still have time. That's why he will perform good deeds in the future. In that condition, he leaves the world. How unfortunate. How many people do you know of that had goals, that had dreams and ambitions and aspirations, perhaps before they even started fulfilling those things, or maybe halfway or almost there? The angel of death, Israel alayhi salam, suddenly appeared and seized their souls. How many people do you know of that are busy or were busy constructing mansions and beautiful houses with the best facilities, up-to-date facilities, and they never got to live in it because they left before it was completed? How many people? Even your own home where you are residing currently. Think about it. Before me, who was staying in this house? Who was staying in this room? And after me, who's going to stay in this house? Who's going to stay in this room? Think about it. And after 10, 20, 50, 100 years, will this beautiful house of mine's remain intact, or will it be demolished, or nobody will stay in it? Maybe another structure will be built. Maybe disbelievers and sinful people may end up staying in this place. These are really serious things to think about. Again, aspiring, having ambitiousness is in itself not a bad thing. If it's unhealthy, then it's bad. If it's healthy, it's good. Our primary focus should be on aspiring to become a better Muslim, aspiring to perform our salahs punctually, on time, and properly, that every posture must be accurate, must be correct. Whatever I recite of the glorious Quran, the tasbihat of ruku, of sujood, my tashahud, my durud Ibrahim, are the pronunciations correct? I must aspire to learn the sunnah and implement the sunnah. The sunnah is the perfect lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a complete and comprehensive way of living, the best lifestyle. If a person wants to gain maximum benefit in this short life, it only lies in following the glorious Quran and blessed Sunnah. It only lies in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Hijr verse 3, translation from Kanzul Iman, leave them to eat and enjoy and let the hope may amuse them now, then they are about to know. Sadr al-Afadil, Allama Mawlana, Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, great scholar. He has commented on this blessed verse and he says, there's a warning here that it's not the glory of an honest person to have high hopes and to become intoxicated with the pleasures of this world. Sayyidina Ali al-Murtada, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha, Karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-Kareem, has said that high hopes makes one forget the hereafter, and following the desires prevents one from the truth. We are advised to ask ourselves sincerely, am I trapped in this ailment of high hopes, of lofty aspirations, to the point where it's impossible? The social media, the entertainment industry, one thing it tries to do is to condition our minds, to indoctrinate our minds and our hearts to live a certain way, to have a certain standard of living. And so we hear it, we see it, that when a boy and girl wants to get married, they put down conditions. And some of those conditions are next to impossible. But if you ask the question, where did you come up with this from? From the entertainment industry, from the movies, from social media, from those romantic novels and clips. I will climb the highest mountain. I will dive into the deepest oceans. Subhanallah. And generally, those marriages end up on the rocks. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has warned us about the disasters of lofty aspirations, of high hopes, and said, 6 things waste a person's deeds: fault finding with the creation, hardness of the heart, love for the world, lack of immodesty, high hope, and excessive injustice. He sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam also said, wise is the person who weakens the desires of his nafs, his ego, his self, and performs deeds for the afterlife. And powerless is the one who follows his desires and has high hopes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One more narration. Amongst the things for which I have fear for my ummah are nafsani desires and high hope. Now we need to ask ourselves the serious question. Do I have this ailment in my life? Am I suffering from this problem? If I am, I'm only making that hole deeper and deeper. And only the fortunate ones realize it soon and make their way out of this hole. It's a struggle. So yes, whilst it is a struggle, but if you have realized that I need to get out of this hole before I end up covering myself, destroying myself. Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said that high hopes, lofty aspirations are actually an obstacle in the path of righteousness and obedience. Furthermore, high hopes become the cause of every mischief and harm. So what can we do? It's about the company we keep. those with whom we associate with. The cures for negligence and heedlessness is to be in the correct company, where we get constant reminders that, my brother, be careful. Don't step there. There is a trap of shaitan. Don't step there. There is a trap of the nafs. Be careful. Plan. Prepare for your grave, for the afterlife. By reading authentic Islamic books from authentic Islamic scholars, this also will train your brain that, what are my priorities? Where do my priorities lie? Be careful of worldly temptations. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua, in supplication. Join the Madani movement of Dawat-e-Islami, where we get constant reminders and constant motivation as well to knock the nafs, to prepare for the grave and the afterlife. So remember the grave often, because death is going to happen all of a sudden. This is a great way of not holding unhealthy, lofty aspirations and long hopes. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Journey of a believer. A believer's road is narrow, yet filled with sacred grace. Each trial becomes a lantern. Journey of a